Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End podcast, extra in association with the Working and Paper. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show. I'm, as usual, joined by the Working and Paper's Tom Crocker, a man who was at New Camp last weekend watching Lionel Messi score a hat-trick for Barcelona. I mean, he was not present, of course, at the Masdad to finally see Reading win at home on Saturday. How's it going, Tom? And should you be staying away from the Masdad more often?
Maybe. It's a typical they finally got that win, yeah. But it's a quick holiday and a couple of days to do the paper and been around to see Paul Clement earlier as well. So, yeah, it's been a busy one for sure.
Good, good. As we mentioned there, finally Reading won a home game on Saturday. First time in nearly a year since last April against Wigan, as Mo Barrow's 10th goal of the season gave him a 1-0 win over Preston North End. So it's two wins from two at the Malacey Stadium for Paul Clement. Mark and Sim went over this game in a bit more detail on the main show earlier in the week, so go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But this was a really good performance, and certainly a very impressive win for Reading, wasn't it, Tom? I think, granted, obviously, Preston weren't in the best of form going into the game, but they were still only 3 points off the playoffs. But just like they did against QPR, Reading got an early goal and then dug deep to hold on to the 3 points on the clean sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're probably better qualified to go over the game in detail, you know, wasn't there. But yeah, it sounded like a pretty similar one to the QPR game from by all accounts. They got the early goal and I don't think they had another shot on target all afternoon, I don't think. And it was just sort of back to the wall defending. And yeah, you say it's a Preston, they're a bit of a poor run, but they're still up there battling for a playoff spot. So it's still an impressive win, really. One of the better home wins that you can think of this season. So yeah, they just had to find a way to grind out these wins in the last few weeks since Clement come in, and they've done exactly that. Obviously, it's 2-1-0 home wins, and yeah, obviously it's not perhaps the best style of football that Paul wants to use going forwards, but at the moment they've just got to get these wins anyhow, and that win last Saturday I think made things a bit more comfortable at the bottom for that, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could certainly see that sort of Preston had not had the stuff and sort of knocked out of them in their recent defeats, and they certainly didn't provide much of a test for Reading. I think Mignolet made a few good saves, but as you said, obviously we got the early goal through Barrow. That header surprising. I think that's probably the first and the last header he'll ever score in his career. But it wasn't as much. They didn't have to do as much defending as they did against QPR, but they still had to hang on, and there wasn't too much of a challenge to keep a massive 3 points, really. And as mentioned, it means Paul Clement has a perfect record at the Malacey Stadium with two wins from two, and if we certainly do stay up, I think it will definitely have been the home fixtures that will probably have done it this season for us. Obviously we've still got Sunderland this weekend to play against, and Ipswich at home as well, and ironically I think we're actually better away from home than at home under Yap Stan. But Clement's arrival certainly seems to have noticeably boosted the atmosphere in Berkshire and sort of spurred the team on to two wins.
Yeah, I think that was one of the big things when he came in. He wanted to make a big point of trying to get some of the fans back in. Obviously, the attendance has been dropping and the home form been going with it, really. It's been going hand in hand. And yeah, I think when he came in, he would have looked at that and just thought he would have pretty much fully targeted those four home games as the games to get the points in. And so far, it's been two from two. And like you say, two more very winnable home games as well. And the away games obviously haven't quite gone to plan, but they're tricky games anyway, really. And to get the two home wins, I think, was a big boost, certainly. I think Preston might have hit the woodwork a couple of times just having a look at the highlights. But yeah, like you say, it was they got the header from Barrow, and yeah, just managed to see it out, and it's 3 points for all they need. No one really looked back at the performance at the end of the season as long as they stay up. So it's just got the points, and yeah, the home form is key, and he said as much when he joined a few weeks ago, and it's certainly proven that way now.
We mentioned last week that at sort of the stage of the season, it doesn't really matter how the wins come or how they perform. That's more of an issue to look at in the summer. But if we can just pick up those points, just get over the line, I think that's the most important thing. Unfortunately, we couldn't pick up any more points on Tuesday night as we travelled to Fulham, but certainly in the game that went a lot better than many people would have expected, despite the fact that we did lose the game. I think considering the incredible form that Fulham have been on and the fact that they're the second highest goal scorers in the league, and I suspect a lot of people were probably expecting us to get thrashed 3-0 or 4-0 on Tuesday night, but Reading didn't do too badly, of course, and it was only 1-0 to Fulham thanks to Stefan Johansson's goal. Sort of putting that in context, Fulham have played 16 league games so far in 2018 and scored at least twice in 12 of them. So I think Reading did really, really well to restrict them just to the one goal. And I think Paul Clement has even described the game as Reading's best performance under his stewardship. So certainly not the complete embarrassment as it was at Villa Park last week, Tom.
No, absolutely. It was a daunting fixture. I think you're obviously similar to Villa, really. And obviously, they were helped on the day by not getting that red card until right at the end, so they had 11 men for most of the game, and that probably helped the game as it went along. I think it sounds like it was a good start from Reading, and they had a couple of good chances early on, and yeah, like you say, one of the the better performances, I think, going forward. Anyway, they tried it out in the first sort of 20 minutes and just couldn't find their way through. And then obviously they conceded that goal, a bit of sloppy defending really, and Fulham probably feel they could have got a couple more goals. But yeah, it wasn't an embarrassment, absolutely not. And it's obviously always going to be one of the tougher games of the season. So to come away playing okay, all the players seemed fairly positive after it. They could take something from it, even if it wasn't the result. And obviously other results went their way as well, so that helped on the night just to try and keep heads up. And it was just a 1-0, and I think they probably just ran out of legs a little bit towards the end and trying to push. And then obviously, like I say, that red card from Bakuna in stoppage time, and after that it was pretty much dead, I think. But yeah, well, 1-0, it's obviously still no points, but it's not something you need to, not embarrassment, absolutely not. And yeah, like we mentioned, it's the home games that are going to keep Reading up, I think.
It was another good night for Reading centre-back pairing of Liam Moore and Thiago Alori. I think Alori is currently leading the Man of the Match vote over on TileSden.com, and Moore has won the Man of the Match vote in all three of Paul Clement's previous games in charge. And they've both been absolutely superb in defence, having sort of got their confidence back under the new boss, obviously keeping the clean sheets against QPR and Preston as well. And you perhaps say that the 3-0 defeat to Villa is obviously the anomaly, but that, of course, wasn't helped by Dave Edwards' red card and Minone's error for the third goal. But the strange thing is they couldn't seem to do this under a former world-class centre-back in charge, but Paul Clement seems to have given both Alori and Moore sort of a new lease of life in the back line.
Yeah, obviously, that's one way of looking at it, but last season I think Liam Moore was brilliant as well on the app, so
yeah.
I think
yeah.
He's just a class act, really. I think since January, I think his performances have improved massively, even before Paul Clement came in. But yeah, his last two or three, he's been brilliant, and Thiago Alori as well. That's what we've been waiting for all season, really, a partnership to try and form there. And it's also, it had been McShane and Moore for quite a lot of it, and McShane was struggling for form as well, and there have been sort of a few guys thrown in the middle there, and they've looked like they've stumbled across a centre-back pairing. Obviously, they're both at a good age as well. You'd like to think that maybe they can try and take this forward into next season too. Obviously, they paid quite a lot for Thiago last year, and he came in and showed good signs at first, and he's got plenty of good attributes at centre-back. But yeah, he's struggled a bit for form as well at the early part of this season. And yeah, obviously when Clement came in, and he wasn't in the greatest form, but like you say, though, a bit of confidence, a couple of clean sheets, and suddenly they look like a really good pair. And I think the focus in the training really has been on improving that defending. That's been the probably one of the main reasons behind it, protecting them a little bit as well. And yeah, under Yap, his general philosophy was to try and attack first, really. He wasn't too concerned about clean sheets. I don't think he was more in the offensive side, whereas Clement very much is get a clean sheet first at the moment, and then you can build from there. If you get a clean sheet, you won't lose, as he keeps saying. So yeah, it seems to be working out for those two, and hopefully going forward, like I say, they're a decent age, keep them both together, and I think that could be a decent partnership to look out for next season as well.
Certainly, obviously, with both Paul McShane and Tommy Elphick out injured, we've been quite fortunate that both Moore and Alori have sort of hit form at the right time, and especially Moore, as you mentioned, there has probably been Reading's best player over the last 2 years combined, was certainly one of the better players last season. Would he be certainly up there for your player of the season this year, Tom? Obviously, we saw nominations open this year, and I think certainly Mo Bower was mentioned, but certainly Liam Moore's got to be up there as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say he had his form dipped, I think it's fair to say, but you'd go through probably the whole team and say they weren't playing particularly great. Yep. So the main part of the season is come in the last few weeks when they've really needed the points, and he certainly stepped up. And yeah, I think Mo Bower would certainly be worth a shout as well. He's been brilliant since he came in. I think one of the probably the most exciting player to watch, at least, if whether or not player of the season, I think he'd certainly be in the mix. But yeah, like you say, Moore and Barrow, just can't think of too many others that'll be in for it, really. It's just been one of them seasons.
John Daniel Bodvarsson,
yeah,
too. I think he's got 9 goals out of 10, but he's not necessarily performed all the time.
Yeah, just not particularly nailed down that starting spot all season as well. But yeah, his goals return is good, actually. I like John, and yeah, he's certainly a good player. And yeah, just back to Alori as well, it's worth remembering that just before Yap went, Alori was dropped in favour of Tom Holmes, so that shows sort of how far he's come up again since then. He's been in the team and kept his spot ever since. So yeah, he's certainly one. Hopefully this time next year we can be talking about him in that sort of bracket. But yeah, I think Moore and Barrow are certainly two to look out for in terms of the vote, I think, in a few weeks' time.
To finish on that Fulham game then, as we briefly mentioned, Leandro Bakuna picked up Reading's third red card in 4 games for a ridiculously late challenge on Ryan Sessegnon. And unlike Jan Kermigan against QPR and Dave Edwards against Aston Villa, this was a straight red card, meaning a 3-game ban, I think, for Bakuna. So if he does play again this season, it will only be against Cardiff on the final day. Sorry, is this something we should sort of be a little concerned about, Tom? I think obviously we've got more red cards than goals in Paul Clement's first four games in charge. And on the one hand, it's good to see players sort of keener to win the ball back for their team, but at the same time, sort of the challenges made by both Edwards and Bakuna especially were just so rash, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it's more red cards and shots on target in four games, which is a mad stat really. But yeah, there was only been one red card all season as well, but I think this one was a little bit different. Like you say, I think Jan and Dave Edwards, they were clumsy challenges trying to get the ball back really, and for second yellows, and this one was just a rush of blood to the head, really a mad moment just jumping in from behind. It was a stupid challenge really, but I think just born out of frustration really. But yeah, it's a bit of a problem because he's played every game under Clement Bakuna. He came on in the first game and he's played the last 90 minutes since then, so he's certainly someone who I think would have started again and add something a little bit different to the midfield. He can play at fullback as well, so it's a bit of an issue in the next to not have him for the next three games, but they've got players who can fill in midfield, so it's not a disaster. But yeah, I don't think it's a massive problem to look at going forward. I think we put that to Clement today actually when we spoke to him, and he said it's far too soon to be drawing any sort of conclusions. You need a lot more games to draw any sort of data or stats from, which is fair enough. It's just it's a strange situation, one obviously a bit eye-catching, but I don't think it's a massive problem going forward.
The good thing, as we mentioned about Tuesday night, was that none of the teams around Reading in the table won, apart from Hull, who thrashed Burton 5-0, and the Tigers are probably now safe, and it's good to see Nigel Atkins having a positive impact there. And elsewhere, Birmingham lost 3-1 to Bristol City, Bolton lost 2-0 to Millwall, Barnsley lost 1-0 to Ipswich in Mick McCarthy's final game in charge at Portman Road, after he stormed out the press conference after that, which is quite funny to listen to. And Sunderland drew 1-1 with Norwich, and as mentioned, Burton lost 5-0 to Hull. So looking at the table then, that means Reading are now 19th on 42 points, Birmingham are 20th with 40 points, Bolton 21st with 39, Barnsley are 22nd with 37, Sunderland are 23rd with 33 points, and Burton are bottom with 32 points, and all of the teams have four games left to play, apart from Barnsley, who have five. I was taking that into consideration, Tom, and that table, and sort of, certainly from my point of view, seeing that Sunderland still have Fulham and Wolves still to play, and Burton still have Derby to play, in a pretty awful anyway, considering they've lost five up to Hull. But I'm going to put my neck on the line and potentially say that those two teams are all but down. Would you agree?
Burton, certainly. I think Sunderland have got, obviously, if they beat Reading, I think they've got Burton the following week, maybe. So if they win both of those, then they'll go sort of level with getting out the bottom three. But like you say, they've got the top two in the last two games, and they're not really winning that many games anyway. So you'd think it's unlikely. I think they've won six all season, so to win three more seems quite unlikely from four games. So yeah, I think those two are pretty much down. This is sort of their last chance to lose Sunderland at the weekend. They've got to beat Reading. That's as simple as that. Yeah. And yeah, I think Burton, Sunderland, you would imagine now it's going to be highly unlikely that either of those two will get out of it, I don't think.
Yep, so that leaves one relegation place left with four teams fighting to avoid it. Barnsley, obviously the team that drops in at the moment with that game in hand against Nottingham Forest, and Reading sit 5 points above them. And if Barnsley do win that game, which they certainly could, considering I think Forest have won just twice in 13 league games, then Bolton would slip into the bottom three and Reading would sit just 2 points above it. And as discussed earlier, I think Reading's home games against Sunderland and Ipswich, I think providing we win those two, that will probably be enough to keep us up our home form. But between Birmingham, Bolton and Barnsley, I find it very, very difficult to call, actually. I think I did one of those prediction things earlier today where you enter, what you think the scores will be for the remaining fixtures, and it came out as Birmingham to go down with Barnsley surviving on goal difference only. So I can certainly see it going right down to the wire. And I know I'm asking you right on the spot, Tom, but if you had to say one of the teams go down to League One, who would you go for?
Just looking at the fixtures now, Barnsley played Bolton on Saturday, so that's
that'll be a very, very key one.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say the loser of that one possibly would go down. I think Bolton, they play Wolves as well, so they've lost four in a row. They're the seed side without any momentum, so you'd probably have to, I'd probably plump for them right now, but it sort of hinges on that game in hand for Barnsley, really. I think most fans will sort of add three points onto that, presuming they win it, and then go from there and hope for the best that they don't. But I think Birmingham are going to be okay, actually. I think they lost the last one, but they've picked up under Gary Monk. They've got a good amount of points in there. I think they'll certainly be good enough to stay up, and I think Reading will be fine as well. So I think it's Bolton or Barnsley, and it comes down to that game on Saturday, really. And yeah, if you had me to pick one right now, I might just say Bolton to go. But yeah, I think it'll be really tight between those two.
I think you just sort of hope that Reading don't have to go to Cardiff and need to get something there. I think obviously with Cardiff losing their automatic spot this weekend, in midweek after they lost to Villa and Fulham beat Reading. So I think Cardiff still have a game in hand of a derby, but certainly if Reading go to Cardiff with Reading still needing something to stay up and Cardiff still needing something to try and get automatic, that would certainly be a very tense game indeed. And of course, we are counting on Reading beating Sunderland this weekend, hopefully, and we'll look ahead to that one now. And as mentioned, the Black Cats sit 23rd in the Championship, 6 points adrift of safety, having won just one of their last 14 games. That win, though, was obviously, of course, the hugely impressive 4-1 away win at Derby, so they're not completely useless, Sunderland. But this game sort of will be a game that Reading will have targeted 3 points from, won't it? Certainly, I think, especially considering they won quite comfortably at the Stadium of Light back in December.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really, because they, like you say, they turned up at Derby and won 4-1. It shows what they can do, but the table doesn't lie, really. They've struggled all season and all struggled for the last sort of 5 years, really, to get many wins, and it's sort of just tumbling down the leagues, which is a shame to see, but... Yeah, Reading went up there and won, and like I say, they've got 2 wins from 2 at Medeski without conceding a goal, and you've got to fancy them for it, really. I think the way their fixtures are, Bolton, Barnsley, and I think Birmingham play Wolves, a win for Reading, and they could pretty much be safe, I think, on Saturday. If they'd be at least sort of 5-6 points clear, you'd think, and it's a huge game. The players, the management are building up as the biggest game of the season, they're not hiding away from it, they know that it is that sort of... cliche 6 points, really. It could be 2 points adrift, they could clear, or they could be sort of 8 points clear, so I think possibly. So it's a massive game, and Sunderland, they are capable. They've got players, they've got Premier League players in that team, but you have to look at a home game against a team second bottom from the league. Obviously it didn't work out, they've lost at home to Burton and Birmingham and other teams down there, but you have to look at it now and think with a little bit of momentum they've got at home, then it's a game they certainly need to be winning.
Yeah, looking at Sunderland's squad, and certainly whilst you probably wouldn't say they should be fighting at the top of the Championship, they certainly have more quality on paper, sort of to be higher than where they are. And the likes of Aidan McGeady, John O'Shea, Callum McManaman, and plenty of other players who have sort of spent large portions of their careers in the Premier League. And obviously Chris Coleman as well, by all accounts, is a fairly decent manager. Obviously he did a very good job with Wales. But as we've seen all too often, some teams sort of just go on this sort of downward spiral they can't control for whatever reason. And it does sort of look as though Sunderland will be going down to League One, despite playing in the Premier League just 2 years ago.
Yeah, just last year. So they got, like you say, they got plenty of good players in there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, if they go down, they'll have the biggest budget by a long, long way in that division, having still had sort of Premier League money in there as well. So,
yeah
it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there. But I think also last weekend, I think they let in a goal right at the end of the game there. Had they won that game against Norwich, they would have had a couple of good wins in close succession. They might have started to get the feel-good factor again, but... yeah, I think that late equaliser will probably dent them even more. And yeah, they say the players in that team, there's obviously plenty of things going on behind the scenes there that I don't think we've got enough time to go into at all. But the players, that's the only danger, that the players on the day have got the quality, some of them, to produce something. But yeah, I think the way Reading are defending at the moment, you'd fancy them to just about get the job done, even though it might not be a particularly pretty one.
Yeah, from Reading side of things then, I mean, it was good to see John Daddy Bodvars and Omar Richards return from their respective injuries against Preston and Fulham. Tyler Blackett, however, did miss those 2 games with an injury of his own. Do you think we could see him return this weekend? And how close are the likes of Paul McShane, Tommy Elphick, Joseph Mendes and Callum Harriott to full fitness?
Yeah, so the only one possible for the weekend is Blackett, who Clement said he's 50-50, so we'll have to wait and see on that one. And obviously Bakuna's out of the squad, but there's no one else coming back in, so... that would presumably mean maybe a youngster on the bench. I'm not sure if Smith was on the bench at the weekend, on midweek, so maybe he would come back in. But nobody injury-wise. McShane and Elphick still, they were scheduled to be back around this time, but they still didn't sound like they're back anytime soon. Obviously, it's just weekend's games now. There's no midweek games left, so possibly the next weekend might be okay for them. But yeah, they're not back this week, and doesn't sound like Callum Harriott's going to play for the whole season, which is a real shame. Obviously, he's so looking forward to the season, getting back. He'd be approaching 2 years out by the time he plays now, which, yeah, so it's a real shame for him. I think he's just doing one-to-one work at the moment. He's not even in full group training, so he's not going to be likely to be available for the rest of the season. Mendes, there's more of a chance for him. It's possible he could do. He was in full training today, so they're sort of managing him with his knee. I don't think he's sort of doing back-to-back sessions yet, but he's in full training, and he could be one that could get a look in between now and the end of the season. But for this weekend, still no Mendes, so it's just still not sure he's going to start up front. There's plenty of options there, but yeah. Mendes won't be one of them this weekend.
Obviously Paul Clement named the same lineup against Preston and Fulham, except John Swift started against Preston, and David Edwards returned from his suspension to start against Fulham. So would you perhaps expect that same team again, obviously with the Lacuna being replaced by probably John Swift or maybe George Evans? I think that would be Mannone in goal, Ganta, Moore, Ilori and Richards at the back, Edwards, Kelly, and then Swift or Evans in midfield, and then probably the same front three of Mo Barra, Sonny Luko and John David Bodvarsson?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think the only one question mark there would be whether he picks Edwards or, like you say, Evans or maybe Joey possibly. But yeah. I think Swift will certainly start along with Kelly in there. I think they'll try and take the game to Sunderland and try and attack it with those guys. So yeah, I think that's certainly at least 10 right there. I'd be surprised if there was any changes. Like I say, he only made one in midweek, and he said he's known his team for the weekend from Wednesday onwards, so he's got it sort of set in his mind, hasn't made too many changes unless he's had to so far. So yeah, I think I'm not sure if he'll play Edwards possibly. Yeah, it's they need someone who's just going to sit in there really, and they might drop Liam Kelly back in there. They have done that before, so yeah, I think it'll be probably be either. Yeah, I think I would go for Edwards possibly. So that could be the 11 that line up, and it should be a good enough 11 to win, I think, really.
Prediction wise then, Tom, you correctly said that Reading would beat Preston and lose to Fulham, and you didn't get the scoreline quite spot on, but what are you going to go for this weekend against Sunderland?
I'm going to go for 2-0 again. I think I've said that 3 times in a row, so I've got to keep going for it now until it happens. But yeah, I think if Reading can get an early goal, I think that could be massive in the game. I think Sunderland will then pretty much know the game's up. I'm not sure if they can officially be relegated this weekend. They might be able to. They'd certainly be on the brink if not. So yeah, obviously Sunderland need to come out and win the game, so there should be chances there for Reading. And I'm going to go for a 2-0 win, and 3 home wins in a row would be... I don't know when that last happened. It must have been sort of April, before that probably. So it's been a long wait. And if not, then another Saturday without a win for me to see. So I'll have to reconsider coming to the Ipswich game, I think, if they don't win this one.
Yeah, I think if Sunderland lose and then Birmingham and Bolton both win, that would put Sunderland pretty much on the brink. And I think their point, I think it's Norwich, has sort of kept in midweek, has sort of kept them just about in it. But I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Reading. I think it'll be a little bit tighter than back in December. So I think some of them probably need that win a little bit more than us, but certainly judging by what we've seen so far under Paul Clement, I think we should have just about enough to take all 3 points. And as you said, get an early goal. I think Sonny Luca's goal against QPR came in the 12th minute, and Mo Barra's goal against Preston came in the 13th minute. We've been able to hang on from those, so another early goal and hopefully another 1-0 win perhaps. But as we come towards the end of the show then, Tom, what can we look forward to on the Working in Paper this week?
Yeah, so we spoke with Paul Clement today, so there'll be a preview from him up probably tomorrow, and then we spoke with John Swift as well. He's sometimes a bit tricky to get anything out of, but he was quite good today, actually. He's speaking quite well about his injuries and how he's been managing that and how frustrating it's been for him. So, yeah, it was good with him, so we'll get that up at some point as well. And we've got the column from Simeon as well on the South Stand. I think they're hoping to get a few more guys in there on Saturday singing. I'm looking forward to seeing that. So, yeah, that'll all be going up in the next day or two on Wokingham.today, and I'll put it up on Twitter at Tom J. Crocker.
Good stuff. Thanks as ever for joining me this week, and hopefully your return to the Manchester doesn't stop Reading from winning this weekend.
I know. Oh yeah, I'm going to keep a low profile if it doesn't.
Stay tuned to the Tireless End as well, of course. We've got loads of preview content ahead of the Sunderland game, and as ever, we'll have a full report and ratings as well. And this week, as Tom mentioned, there was the South Stand group trial on Saturday against Preston, and I've written a piece on that up on the Tireless End with myself, Sim, Will and Dan. We're also part of all that group. I'm in South Stand on Saturday. So to find out more about that, what the aim of the group is and how it will hopefully be progressing, check out thetirelessend.com. Whilst there was also a lengthy discussion about the South Stand group on the main podcast earlier in the week. Speaking of the main show, that should return early next week to look back on the weekend's game. No midweek game Friday next week, but myself and Tom will return either on the Thursday or the Friday to look back on the Sunderland game, and also ahead to the trip to Sheffield Wednesday, which hopefully will have a little less riding on it if we win on Saturday. But until then, though, thank you very much for listening to today's show, and come on, you Arts.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.